Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Friday Special, a podcast by Guitar Nerds, the world's number one guitar podcast. Each week, I'm going to have a new guest from the world of guitars and amplification and effects. We're going to have brands and producers and musicians. I am your host, Joe Brandon. And this week, I'm joined by Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
And I have Ilya, the founder and CEO of Game Changer Audio. Ilya, welcome to Guitar Nerds.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Hey.
Hey, thank you very much for coming on the episode. Now, Game Changer are one of the, to dive straight into things, Game Changer are one of probably the youngest companies, as in you've been around for the shortest amount of time of any of the brands that we normally talk to, and you've made one of the biggest splashes in kind of effects and weirdness in an incredibly short time. And you seem to have done it consistently with like a small amount of products, you know, in your products line, but each one having an extremely high amount of research and development involved in it. It really is like a completely different company from anything else at the moment. There's no question in that. I'm just telling you that your company is good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm enjoying. Keep going, man. Like, yeah. That sounds great. Like, I'm writing this down. I'm going to use this somewhere.
Absolutely. But
thank you for the kind words. I mean, like, we're trying to make a splash, and you know, we're trying to live up to the very ambitious name of the company name, Game Changer Audio. It was harder at first when we only had one pedal, but now it's catching on, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, in our industry, game changer is a term that is thrown around a lot, you know, for a lot of times. And you're like, it can lose a bit of impact. But you guys really have, you know, I think, you know, changed the game, because everything that you've done has not followed the rules in some way. You know, I think what's interesting for you guys is, you know, we'll see a lot of new and great pedal companies out there who, you know, make a, you know, come out with an overdrive and everyone goes mad for it. And then there's some distortions and maybe a, you know, a couple of things evolve from that. And you've got companies like JHS or Walrus, you know, with a increasing product line, but you guys have really focused on everything. Everything has a like a deep meaning, as it were. Everything is its own unique pedal in some way. So, I mean, yeah, it's certainly a fitting name, I would say, for the kind of things that you've done since, what, 20? I think I saw
2017
you guys,
was the NAMM where you won Best in Show at 2017.
I think there is, like, the facts are correct, but maybe the timeline is a bit weird, is a bit like imprecise. Right. I think we never got any awards in the 2017 show, but yeah, we were lucky to be at least noticed, and we had some. I think the best, that best in something, was an article by Music Radar. That
right.
was, in their opinion, like one of the best like devices at the whole NAMM show. which was, yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe, but like from your point of view, we are such a young and like upcoming company and we've only been around. For me, it feels like fucking ages, man. Like 5 years. 5 years of this stuff, you know? But no, I mean, it's a really awesome... We've created a really cool job for ourselves and we're really happy about that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I bet.
I mean, I was going to start, if that's all right, Joe, just by saying, like, can you give us a bit of the kind of pre-NAMM 2017, like, backstory? Like, how did, you know, where did Game Changer start? What was the seed to
how did a plus pedal end up in the brass section of NAMM in 2017 and then become like, you know, one of the most exciting things from that whole year? I think that's the question, isn't it?
Oh, so I mean, like, I'm gonna throw out some basic information. So the company was started by me and three other guys. So we're all roughly the same age. We're like 28, 29. Pretty much we got together simply to because we had a great idea for a pedal that would allow for more interesting ways of arranging music. So like basically it all started with this idea, okay, how about let's use modern electronics and modern components and create this little mini computer that can combine like looping and FFT spectral freezing and like serious FFT analysis to create a piano style sustain or sostenuto effect that's custom tailored for like guitarists, right? So we just, when we first were starting out, which I believe was in 2015, we didn't really have like a detailed vision of the company and what would happen and whatnot. It was basically just a nice coincidence of me, like, I found the right guys who had the skill set and the knowledge and the experience, at least so we thought at the moment, to build this device. And literally we started doing something in like, I think October of 2015, and the plan was to finish the pedal by Christmas. So it was this very naive and kind of like super optimistic mindset that got us going in the first place. In reality, we devoted the next 15 months to just coming up with the one prototype. And I think what happened is that like we had invested so much time into it and so much effort, and also all of our like personal savings, which were not a lot when you're like 23 or something. We had invested so much time into it, then we kind of said, okay, you know, fuck it, like let's make a company, let's go big, you know, because we didn't just spend 15 months on this thing just to like complete a project and just, you know, yeah, just be happy with the thing. So we just kind of like decided to go all in and see how far we can get. And when we had the finished prototype ready, which was actually like far from being finished, but at least it worked. We had like two plus pedal units, and there was a lot of messy solder work inside and like corrections and like duct tape involved, which nobody needed to know about. So like how we ended up at NAMM is like we literally just somewhere around Christmas, we bought tickets to LA kind of like using our last money, and we didn't even have a booth and we were not even like registered as actual vendors at NAMM or as a company. Wow. We kind of just latched on to a fellow Latvian company which is called Nartis LV, and they specialize in making affordable brass instruments which are higher quality than most like student models. So this guy, I just knew him from a while back because, you know, it's a small city, you know all the guys, and he has a showroom and a store, and he's a really helpful dude. His name is Vairis, and I just asked him, hey, I hear that you're gonna go to that NAMM thing, that big exhibition, can we come and like hang out at your booth so it looks like we have a booth in case if somebody comes. So I mean, yeah, and that's the story of the brass section. But yeah, we were not even like officially in any like vendor lists or company like exhibitors lists or something like that. So we just had like one-way tickets to LA. We built I built a WordPress website in like 2 days before the launch of the product, and that's about it. Like
that's absolutely incredible.
We just went and we configured the website so that we can take payments as pre-orders, and thankfully like the NAMM show was a correct decision, like because of journalists such as Music Radar and like the even some of the internal like NAMM news guys kind of like noticed us, and then some musicians tweeted out, and yeah, I mean, somehow we were able to collect roughly like 400 pre-orders for the Plus pedal in the following weeks after NAMM. And then yeah, we were still in LA, we were just like road tripping or doing something, and we kind of looked at each other and we realized, okay, yeah, let's go home in a few days. Everybody quits their job and let's go. That's about it.
that's incredible. And I guess those 400 pre-orders gave you enough capital to start actually building these on at a faster amount or at a cheaper amount.
Yeah. So the plan was like I know that the standard way of how a pedal company works is that the guitarist learns how. A guitarist fixes broken boss pedal, step one. Sorry, no offense, Matt.
No. It is a bizarre story that so many people that I meet, especially on in what I do, is like, yeah, I started by fixing broken boss pedals.
No, I mean, like it is the story of many builders, including like Josh and like Jamie from Earthquaker. And yeah, so step one, guitarists learns how to master the soldering iron and fixes like a cable and then a pedal and whatnot. Then step two, guitarist tries to mod a pedal and succeeds. Step three, his friends start asking like, hey, dude, can you do the same mod for my pedal? Then a few months go by and like you realize that you're sitting like covered in parts and pedals and you kind of start getting the confidence. Hey, maybe I'm good at this. And then you start getting more and more ambitious and you invent your own circuit and then your friends and you sell it to your friends. And then organically guitarists like become like these little like mini workshops or something. So that's the story for almost all of the boutique brands, how they started out. And the difference here with us is like we had absolutely no like intention from the beginning like to do any like hand soldering or hand assembly of pedals, or we wanted to like focus on development. We create like a nice design, develop a unique idea or some kind of focus on the know-how and on the software and on the, like most of the work that was done during those like 15 months was apart from the visual and mechanical aspects, it was mostly coding. So we knew that like if we get this thing off the ground, we don't want to be sitting there and like, you know, workshopping batches of pedals. We want to come up with a repeatable, like, industrial process, which can be just outsourced to a qualified manufacturing facility. That way you develop the thing once and then production is kind of like, it's just basically managing.
Yes, it's an automated thing.
You just need
thing.
To manage the production process and you don't have to be dependent on it and you don't have to devote any time, to like hand solder things or to package things or assembly or whatnot.
So, well, absolutely. With a company that I guess with you guys, so much of it is research and development. And then, of course, the other side is the aesthetic of your pedals. Each one is in a different housing and it's the aesthetic is as much a part of the pedal as anything else. And for a lot of especially boutique pedal manufacturers, that the aesthetic is very much an afterthought. You know, what color are they going to paint it? What picture are they going to put on the front of it? Yours is a complete construction. So I guess Yes, not wanting to actually have to do the nitty gritty. Whilst it works for a load of other companies, I can see why that would absolutely not be something that you wanted to get tied up in.
Yeah, I mean, like that's why the sort of like group, like I don't know, for lack of a better term, like that crowdfunded approach was the perfect approach. It's like we did not have the confidence that we will like get 400 or in the end it turned out to be like almost like 800 or something pre-orders by the time we were shipping the first pedals. But
did I hear correctly that a couple of members of Pink Floyd also contacted you?
Well, yeah. So the most notably, like one of the members of Roger Waters' touring band, Joe Karen, he wrote us an email on the second day of NAMM. So, and then we were just ecstatic, and we went to Outback Steakhouse and we spent $250 on steak, which was a pretty hefty like sum, you know, back then on the company card there. Yeah.
That sounds like I tell you what, this sort of thing sounds like the worst situation to be in, is sort of being in California with all of this happening around you. This sounds like the ultimate excuse to go and spend loads of money drinking and eating out for a few days.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, the whole idea was that, like, if we collect the necessary amount of pre-orders, then we can do the mass assembly, which is, because otherwise, if we only collected like 100 pre-orders, we couldn't. It wouldn't justify the, like,
of course,
getting the like robot hand involved or something, programming the conveyor belt or some kind of, you know, like those industrial processes. They only start to pay for themselves and make sense after you've reached a certain threshold of orders. So we were kind of like trying to do a safe bet and like no hand assembly. If we don't reach like 500 orders, then we're just not going to do the thing. And that's it. So luckily that approach has worked well for us. But I have to mention something. Like, we are a little bit spoiled. We had a gigantic advantage over anyone who would try to pull this off in, let's say, the US or maybe even the UK. So Latvia is a very small country. And for example, we have these small but very advanced and high quality manufacturing facilities that view like an order of 500 devices as like it's a large order. Let's go, in the States or something, or in the UK, they probably wouldn't even respond to our email or something. You know, like, hey, we would like to launch like a industrial manufacturing process for a batch of 1,000 something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, well, so I've never thought about that.
We're kind of taking advantage of this, like, small-scale kind of situation that we had here.
Yeah, I guess, if you're looking at, you're seeing some pedals come out with, different screens, for example, or touch screens or whatever, and you think those touch screens might be the same type of touch screen that's on an Android or an iPhone. It's like these companies are used to accepting an order for Apple for like 2 million screens. So, you know, when a pedal company comes along and says, can we have like 200? They're like, that's no good for us, you know. So being out, I guess you're in a sort of advantage that, you can cherry pick, you know, from a bunch of different people. And I guess that's how you've ended up with the team that you've got now, because you've got quite an extensive team of engineers and different people behind you as well, right?
Yeah, so like just to close up on the previous point and like segue into what you just mentioned, so the key member of our team is one of our founding engineers, Martin, and he's a really, really awesome, he's a really interesting and he has a very awesome, unique skill set. So he's really good at like learning new things, and he's a very qualified engineer, and he has like a master's degree and work experience and all this stuff. But so he's like he's a great electronic engineer, but that's not even his biggest strength. His biggest strength is that he's a guy who can put everything down, like classify things, and just understand a very big complex situation and evaluate himself critically and say, okay, to complete this project, I need to spend 3 months learning like this programming language and like coding these things. And then he just opens books and like starts doing that. And like that was the process like in the beginning. So he essentially learned how to code on a very high high level just to complete the plus pedal. So yeah, and
wow.
Martin also came in when Martin also played a crucial role to secure our manufacturing deal, because his job before Game Changer Audio, he was a project implementation engineer at this particular electronics manufacturing plant. So the company is called Hanse Matrix, and what they do, it's a factory, it's an electronics factory, and they build devices. They take contracts from different manufacturers from Europe, Scandinavia, America, and they bring these like projects to life and manufacturing them on a mass scale level. So Martin's job at that facility, he took over the project from the inventors or the company who like submits the project, and he adapts those like circuit boards and parts and all the stuff so it can be compatible with the electronics, like with the manufacturing devices and machines. So let's replace these resistors with this. Like, he double checks everything. He creates like the testing devices to check whether every circuit board is perfect. So basically, in a way, Martin has had the perfect training to launch our project into manufacturing in a mass, like, industrial way. So, yeah, it was a really funny, like, thing when we came over back from NAMM. We had an interesting meeting with his boss. So we were at the negotiations table or the conference room or something. So a secretary comes in and, like, first she gives Martin his, like, resignation papers. He signs them in front of us. And then she brings out the contract for manufacturing the PLOS pedal. Like, and we did both things in the same meeting. It was really funny.
Wow.
that's amazing. What an incredible start. And then here's the thing. You had to follow this up. Because of course now we're a few years in and we kind of expect it from you. We expect Game Changer to, like, oh, I wonder what crazy, ridiculous thing Game Changer are going to release this year. Whereas, awesome. You know, you just
great. That's exactly what we, this is my favorite type of comment, or like, this is my favorite thing to hear in terms of the company. Ooh, I wonder what they will come up with next. That's exactly the vibe that we want to kind of preserve.
Which is great, which I guess is why you have, you know, a small, again, you know, I'm coming back to that same point, but you have a small amount of products, you know, in comparison to another effects company that might make 20, 30 pedals. But what you seem to be doing is each year you release one thing, not another line of 10 things, one thing, but that one thing will, you know, you released two or three things, I think, in 1 year. But, you know, it's always the focus is on a few things, and they're always very, very well thought out. But back at this stage, when you've just released the PLOS pedal, you didn't have that, you hadn't, I guess you guys hadn't reached that yet. So
yeah, there was no guarantee like that will live up to that name or whatever. Or yeah, I mean,
so how hard was it then to come up with the plasma pedal?
Sorry if I'm cutting you off, but it was really funny. We had absolutely, we had no idea what to do next. Like, we have this thing. The name it's a really like big, like ambitious name, Game Changer Audio. And we had like some criticism about it. Yeah, Game Changer, come on, like fucking kids, whatever. Like, yeah, you have one pedal, like, yeah, big whoop. But so it was a little bit stressful, I gotta say. Like, so we announced the PLOS at Winter NAMM. Then we spent the next 9 months trying to like put all the pieces together, like, you know, like to bring it into production. But in the meantime, like, our brains were cooking and we were trying to come up with what's going to be the next thing. And the answer, the big breakthrough moment, came at the following, like, SummerNAMM that same year. So, yeah, January is where, like, WinterNAMM, January was when we announced the Plus Pedal. And then we started, from February up until September, we were, like, busy, like, bringing that to life. But in the meantime, we were constantly thinking, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And we had... felt like it was a little bit like weird. Yeah, I had literally no idea. And like people would come up and ask that and we would just say like, oh yeah, we've got some special stuff coming up. You just wait and see. Like, I have no fucking idea what's it going to be. Like,
so did I read right that the plasma pedal was based on the I don't know what you call it, the bug zapper. Concept, the electronic bug killing things.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, I've told the story a few times, so that's probably how you know it. But So when by the time SummerNAMM came around in 2017, we still hadn't shipped the Plus Pedal, but we were doing the trade shows because we wanted to learn the industry and meet the people and, you know, see what SummerNAMM all about. But by that time we were in like full on panic mode in terms of the next pedal, because we knew that like, okay, we gotta start developing the prototype for WinterNAMM. It's coming up really soon. It's already July. Come on, let's do something. We had a bunch of ideas. Some of them were pretty bad. Some of them are still somewhere in the you know, notebooks, and we might like revisit them at some point. But we didn't have anything solid. And then we couldn't come up with anything. And then we did SummerNAMM. And then we went to, like, we went on a big road trip. And we went, like, we're all big fans of bluegrass music and country music and rockabilly and all these, like, wonderful Americana genres. Like, all of us are,
that's
like...
That's right. You used to play in a band very much of that ilk before you started this.
Yeah. I had a band called The Big Bluff. And we had like rockabilly influenced rock music, and we did a lot of traditional rockabilly as well. And also Martin was in a rockabilly band, and then Chris Stubbs, the other founding engineer, he was in a rockabilly band, and that's actually how we knew each other, kind of. And like I just didn't know that they had also like actual, you know, actual jobs, like, yeah. Like actual skills. But so like we were really into rockabilly, so and like bluegrass is a fantastic genre. So we had this like rented car. We drove up to Kentucky. We watched a Weezer concert in Louisville, Kentucky. And then we watched a PJ Harvey concert there as well. And then we went like deep into like bluegrass country, and we rented this mysterious Airbnb from a guy named Randy the King. Randy the King. So Randy the King was he used to be a professional wrestler, and then he had some kind of traumatic incident, and his like one of his eyes was like a lazy eye or something, you know what I mean? Like, so this guy was like in his 50s, and after he finished his wrestling career, he converted his like family's ranch into a bluegrass recording studio. So then he had his like bluegrass recording studio years, and then he got fed up with that, or maybe like the market for bluegrass went down or something. He decided to quit the recording business, and he just like started renting out that like studio place as an Airbnb. And it was a magnificent place. Like, it had like wooden panel, like walls, a big bar, like a bar section with stools, and like a big Budweiser neon sign in the kitchen, and like these old like 1950s fridges with the chrome handles, you know. Like, we were really getting a kick out of that place, and we were just like in the middle of nowhere. There's no phone reception. There's like snakes and badgers and shit, like, and and we were just like cooking meat and just having a really great redneck good time, you know, just cooking meat, drinking beers, we're tourists from Latvia. We just finished the show. We're just having a laugh. And like somehow we just got a big kick out of this bug zapper device. So the bug zapper, for those who don't know, like in Louisville, like in like, yeah, it was like, I think it's called like something Bullhorn, Kentucky. Like in those regions, there's a big bug problem. At night, it's like locusts, you know, just like they're everywhere. So if you want to enjoy like a beer on the front porch and cook some meat, the bugs, like they're going to ruin it for you. Like unless you have the bug zapper. The bug zapper is a light and like a thing with like a metallic mesh, and it attracts, the light attracts the bugs, and they, as soon as they touch that metallic mesh, there's an electrical current that kills them, just fries them like a taser gun, like pfft. So yeah, we were like we were sitting there, and that bug zapper thing was literally going nuts. Like it was just full on frying insects. Like the air smelled like cooked insect protein, like just yeah, so it was a big kind of like culture shock for us, and we were just laughing about it. And then a few weeks later, I started researching how it works, and then is it the same thing as the taser gun, and like just asking questions to Christoph and Martin, and we just kind of started talking about this thing, like we should use that to fry like guitar signal or audio signal. And then we had a big improvised meeting about it, like in the smoking area. And we just kind of realized that it's not impossible. It should work. And then we just kind of shook hands and said, okay, fine. We finally have the next thing, plasma pedal. Wow. That's it, done. And then we, for the next 4 months, we just hope it's going to work out. Like, yeah. And then, yeah, when we had the prototype finally ready, it was like, okay, let's see if it works. We plug it in. Okay, starts playing. Like, yeah, and then it worked, thank God. But yeah, for the longest time, there was no proof that it will actually work. Like, yeah.
And also, this is kind of the first time anyone's approached fuzz in a different way, you know, since 1962, more or less, sort of thing, you know, that someone's tried to. I mean, certainly, you know, we've used silicon or germanium transistors. There's been that, but this is the first time that there's been a different approach to trying to get that sort of sound.
Yeah, I mean, we like most, like it's not important in the end, because the end result is just like a guy playing music. So it's not sure. Important what sort of, you know, like, I guess, like, if we call ourselves guitar nerds, then okay, yes, this is important. This is very interesting. But at the end of the day, what the most important thing that it really sounds different. It, like, the technical process behind it is completely weird. It's completely off the beaten, like, path. And we're actually using a high voltage step up flyback transformer to create the like the distortion, and we're amplifying a guitar signal to like ridiculous amounts of voltage, and then it gets discharged, and the signal actually goes to ground. So when you play it, you kind of like when you play the, you know, the plasma pedal, you're converting a very low voltage guitar signal into short bursts of like high voltage electricity, and those bursts of electricity cannot be converted back into audio signal, because there is no such thing as a you know, compact step down transformer, right?
Right.
So the discharged sparks that are formed, they go to ground and they are lost, and we use an antenna to reconstitute the audio signal by using an antenna that picks up the fluctuations in the electromagnetic field around that occurs thanks to those discharges. So it's a very, like, it's extremely nerdy and very different. But yeah, what makes us happy is that it really does sound like, not like anything else. It's a really unique sound.
Absolutely. It seems to be capable of more extremes than any other fuzz. So sort of the level of breakup, the level of like heavily gated sputtery fuzz is incredible that you can go to. And of course, like what more of a kind of golden seal on that pedal than having Jack White get involved? If you were going to think of a player who defines fuzz, sort of, but in the modern day, you know, this guy absolutely, he's the king of fuzz at the moment, and he's not only playing the Plasma pedal, but you did a collaboration with him to make a signature version of that.
Yeah, I mean, it really like it could not have gone kind of better, to be honest. Like when you think about it, okay, who's gonna be the main endorsee or the main like how do you say it like iconic player or something like that you would want as a guitar pedal company? Like Jack White, he's like one of the last modern guitar heroes around. I mean, there's plenty of upcoming awesome guitarists, but I mean, like in the traditional sense, like he's still like rock star, like level kind of guitar champion. And like, you couldn't wish for a better, better icon to endorse your thing. So, excuse me. At first, we were just really happy that he just reached out to us and that he wanted to even have the pedal and play it. And that was like amazing in itself. But then he started bringing it up that we should do a collaboration. And yeah, we were like, you know, just we went to Outback Steakhouse and like spent $250 on steak and beer. Like, no, but something similar happened. Yeah,
Yeah, I bet. So what an incredible thing to get to do.
Just going back to one of the things I said was talking about earlier. Then was the team of people that obviously you have behind you now. I mean, how does how do you kind of find the engineers that work for you in Latvia? Because you've got a relatively sizable team, I guess, for how old your company is. But obviously, you've got so many engineers that are kind of just.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Working away, I guess, a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, so right now we are almost 20 of us right now. And our company, like our staff, is very engineer heavy. So we have two mechanical engineers. The founding team, I just want to like mention, my specialty is the product development and like dreaming up the concept of the things. And like, I guess most of my day-to-day work is the marketing and branding and like that kind of like presence stuff, like artist relations and graphical design and videos. Like me and my team, like we work on those things most of the day, but every evening like we have meetings with the engineers and we discuss the products and like all the new projects. And we kind of we invest most of our like creative thought into the products and how to build them and the sounds and the functionality. And so, yeah, so that's kind of why each one of our pedals, like we don't want to like do something that comes in the same shape every time, you know, like we kind of build every product, every pedal based on first principle, just this is what it is. So let's make the enclosure that is the best for this. And we have awesome partners here in Riga. Like we manufacture everything here in Latvia, mostly in Riga, but also in other cities. And we have awesome partners who do metal work for us and do custom made enclosures. And we used to like do the brass casting for the Plus pedal also in Riga. Now it's outsourced overseas. And most of the team, so the marketing stuff is like me and we have a really awesome videographer, Alice, and we have Matisse who does the artist relations and the press. I think he's the one who you talked to regarding this podcast.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and then he manages like the social media stuff and we work on that stuff like at least half of the day. But yeah, pretty much every day we have big discussions about products, about new ideas. And for trust me, like for each thing that we put out, there's at least five other ideas for other pedals that are also crazy but didn't work out for some reason or got, you know, like postponed or maybe even sometimes canceled. Sometimes we come up with ideas that we spend 2 months like researching and then it turns out, yep, it's completely impossible due to laws of physics. Yeah.
great. But that's wonderful that you start at an idea that actually might not be possible.
Yeah, I mean, all of these things, like we constantly have ideas that are not possible in the end. I still don't want to give them away because maybe we'll figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah, don't give them away. As much as it would be great content, I'm excited about. I'm excited about seeing you actually realize them, and kind of so like from the plasma pedal. This is the great thing about talking to you is that we can literally go through every single pedal in the line, and every single one is going to be something new and interesting and different. And so after the plasma pedal. I guess what came next was would it have been the motor synth the motor pedal and the motor piano, would that be the next thing in the line?
Yeah, so I mean like yes. we did branch out like a little bit with the plasma stuff. We just had a lot of requests from people like, can you make it bigger? And we didn't take those requests seriously, but then at one point the guys, the guitarist from Rammstein asked us if we could make a bigger one. And then okay, oh, fuck it. We have to build it now because, yeah, like Rammstein is one of the big influences. Like we like Rammstein. I don't know how big that Rammstein are in the UK, but in
Europe. I absolutely love Rammstein. I'm pretty sure, Matt, you're into Rammstein as well.
Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah, I didn't, just on a random side note, I had... my cousins are German and one of them's a big sort of metalhead, and she was obviously massively into Rammstein in the late 90s and early 2000s, which I think was almost probably where they peaked a little bit in the UK. But I had no idea how big they were in Germany.
Oh, they are
they've had like number one like, albums in Germany and stuff.
They are absolutely like if you stay in Germany, they're pretty much the biggest game in town. Like that's it. Like they're just they're rock gods there.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. So you made a larger enclosure version. I love that. That's the one request, not a change in the sound, just a bigger enclosure.
Yeah. People are like, but I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, I mean, you don't have to be super serious about the stuff. Like, we are taking the engineering to extremely serious levels. But I mean, we were absolutely aware that the basic emotion behind the plasma pedal is very childish. It's like, ooh, it lights up, it goes zap pow, and like you get to play with it.
Yeah,
yes, it's simplistic and primitive and it's a little bit childish, but like why not? Because it's, you know, like we understood from the very beginning that's like the visual aesthetics and the like the that whole like lightning in the bottle type kind of like, you know, look of it. Like musicians are superstitious, and also I am superstitious. I get into a different like mental place, like when I see like stuff like, you know, like bursting into lightning or plasma or whatever. Like it makes me excited and it makes me like interested in like in the thing. I want to try it. I want to see how this riff sounds through the lightning thingy. Like it's a combination of these both like super childish approach and then the super serious engineering. So I mean, I'm not surprised at all that the, you know, the number one request for Plasma Pedal was like, hey, can you make the lightning thing bigger? And that's it. Yeah, and even the Rammstein guys wanted that. So yeah, we kind of went into that and started exploring that. And then we kind of started taking into consideration like Rammstein's like touring requirements, because they don't use pedal boards. They have MIDI controllers and everything is stored away in racks. So like this guy is not tap dancing like on pedals, you know, like he's got like a very, very precise German team of music engineers that, you know, everything is automated on a clock and on switches and like, you know, like everything is perfect. So then we realized, okay, it has to be fully MIDI controllable. It has to be bigger. So it looks like a big rack unit. And then we actually went out and we hired a very experienced engineer. His name is Vilnis, which is cool because his name in Latvian is a very like kind of unusual name. It translates literally as wave. So
right.
Yeah. So Vilnis, he's a little bit older than us, like a few, like 4 or 5 years older, but like he had more experience. And he's also like a musician, and he had like a lot of bands and like a lot of experience with rag gear. So yeah, we hired him at first like kind of part time, but then slowly he moved over to us full time. And so while we were like going forward with the newer like ideas, Vilnis spent almost a year building the rack version for Plasma. So yeah, and we're happy to say that like finally like it's catching on, it's selling, like it's,
and that's why there's a rack version.
It's always been like out of stock for the longest time. It was out of stock, and like we had like a little batch, and then we would sell them out, and then people would wait for a long time, and we actually kind of released it a few times, but then we didn't release them, then we didn't like let go of them because we wanted to like keep working on them or something. But yeah, happy to say that like finally they are like everything is sorted out. It's been in production for a few months, and like yeah, it's actually gaining popularity with the like
Matt, you were very excited about the rack version of this.
Yeah, I just I think it's a great evolution in the Plasma Pedal, and you know, taking that concept one step further, and you know, bringing rack gear back, which is my ultimate goal. I think you know, I think we're going to start seeing a rise in, I think I can't remember if we were talking about it on the podcast, whether I was watching a couple of YouTube videos, and people were saying, you know, big amps are sort of coming back now. A lot of people are just like, you know what, I'm just going to have a Marshall and a 4x12 and I'm going to have a rack system and all this sort of stuff. So I think it's great to see. I think it's great to kind of go, you know, yeah, let's just bring it back for guitarists. And obviously there's a bunch of studio people out there who are building or have got studios and are always looking for something cool. And
well, I mean,
you know,
yeah, that's the reason why people still go to studios, because like if it was all just done through a laptop, then you can do the same thing at home. It's like you want to go to that studio because they have the Leslie, they have the fucking grand piano, they have the good mics, they have the weird shit, like the, and you know, now they have the plasma racks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. And I think you know, your kind of USP and the way that you know, the plasma rack and the plasma pedals, it's like you can't really make a plug-in sound like that you know, there's some great plugins, but there's with the Plasma Pedal, there's a feel thing to it. There's something about it that
that's actually
very difficult to replicate.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly our, like, how do you say it? Our main criteria. So, first of all, like, I like completely, like, not disrespecting any pedal companies. Like, there's a different mindset with every company, but kind of like our whole point is that, like, our whole mindset and our, like, the way we evaluate our ideas is that, can this be reproduced with a computer? If the answer is no, then it counts as a game changer idea. Because let's be real, like, most of the, like, flanger thingy or like tremolo thingy with three different wave shapes that all clash and react and whatever, like, those are really awesome effects. There is a place for them. Like, there is a use case for most of these things, but basically they are mini computers that are programmed, that are hardwired to do one thing. And, like, to be honest, like, you know, you could most probably achieve the same effect with an actual computer, just right. Just, why do you need a pedal? The pedal is just a thing that's on the floor. But the all the magic and all those crazy, like, effects that we have now, the modern effects, like, you know, the 300 plus pound, like, flanger or something. Like,
yeah.
Those are all just mini computers that are hard coded and hardwired and locked to do one thing. So they're fantastic units. Like, the, for example, like a good example that, like, I cannot, we, like, we won't do any damage to, for example, Strymon Blue Sky or something. Like, it's a fantastic reverb unit, but all it is really, it's a mini computer that only does one thing. And theoretically, yeah, I could achieve all of those. I could program all those reverbs, and there are huge, like, scientifically researched VSTs and whatnot that can produce even more, like, complex reverbs, and you know what I mean. Like, so that's the cool thing for us, like, about our product, is that, like, we tried to put the Plasma into a Kemper and to model it, but it doesn't work. It can't catch it. It doesn't sound like it.
That is it. That should be the the slogan line on the Plasma pedal.
I mean, like, the Plasma stuff, it's an actual electrophysical, whatever, like, science, like, mini scientific process. Like, it's a mini, like, physics, you know, like, experiment that's happening in real time. And it would be an extremely complicated and totally, like, bizarre computer algorithm to emulate how that voltage breakup, like, actually goes into play.
So
the same is with the motor synth and that whole, like, motor line of products that we are finally, like, getting ready to release. I'm looking at a motor synth, like, super almost ready version. Like, it's on my table right now. Where
I am excited about that product.
So the motor synth cannot, it's also an electromechanical process, and it cannot be replicated with a computer because it's an actual spinning electromotor that has its own vibrations and its own, like, flavors and imperfections and weirdness.
This is it. This is what, like, I absolutely loved about this product when you announced it, was the physical aspect of all of the different sounds that you could get out of this. It reminded me of it. Do you remember the Zvex? What was it called, Matt? The candle.
It was like a vibratone or something. It was the vibrato that was light sensitive, but it was like candle lit driven, I guess.
But this was the great thing about the motor synth, was that all of the effects were created via a physical operation rather than a digital one.
Yeah, and I'd love to talk more about Morrison, but also, like, we just announced the light pedal, which is the same principle.
Yeah, I think maybe we should talk a bit about the light pedal, because obviously, as much as me and Joe love talking about synthesizers, a lot of guitar players are like, oh. But the light pedal is something that obviously you guys released at NAMM this year.
Yeah, this was like our 2020 Winter NAMM like release. So we will try and like release a completely new concept every Winter NAMM.
Wow, you were setting that bar high. You're going to regret saying that in a few years.
Yeah. No, actually, it's kind of cool. Like, we have a lot of ideas now. Like, we don't run into those problems anymore because now it's like our minds are kind of like there. We have ideas. We have, like, we don't even need to think about any new stuff if we just finish all the stuff that we already have written down somewhere in notebooks. Like, yeah, we'll have work like for 5 years.
Oh, this is so exciting. That is so exciting to hear, because everything about this company is so different and new. It's fantastic that you've got enough longevity to think of something that's going to be something that I can't think of right now, you know, for the next 5 years. That is wonderful. But yes, the light pedal was very exciting to me as someone who loves anything that can be ethereal. I think that's quite an interesting story with who came up with the concept for the light pedal as well.
Oh yeah, so we have this so our office is located directly, like, it's a 5-minute walk from the Riga Technical University, like, main campus. And that was a strategic place that we kind of like, we found an office specifically near the university because we want to create a feeder system, like the best people from the best new engineers from the technical university, you know, we want to snatch them up and we want them to do their internships and all these things like at our office. Yeah, we want to catch all the cool new people. So that was the story with Theodore. He joined us when he was in his second year in electronics engineering bachelor's. But Theo is a fantastic guy, like an absolutely awesome skill set. So I would say, number one, he's extremely smart and extremely like perceptive, and even though he was in his second year, he won prizes. He won, like, he entered all the like math and physics Olympiads, and like he got the medals, and like he's just a creative thinker and problem solver, and really, really, really like special student. And he was people talked about him, that we have this cool, super bright guy, Theo. Secondly, he is an extremely talented musician. He's like the only one of us who can actually play music properly.
He's the guitar player in the video that you launched for this project.
Oh yeah,
right?
He doesn't even play guitar. He is a piano player, but he can play guitar as well. Like, yeah.
Right, right.
So yeah, so Theo is, and then thirdly, he's a super positive, proactive, like optimistic dude who just like, he likes doing things and he likes trying new stuff and learning, and he's like, yeah, like a very, very awesome skill set. Super positive, active and optimistic, plus intelligent, smart and musical, and yeah, we all kind of fell in love with him. So when he came over to us, like, he did the internship thing that he had to do for school, and then we gave him an amazing offer. We said, okay, Theo, we'll give you a job, we will pay you minimum wage, and you can come here as often as you like, and you can do whatever you want, and we don't expect anything. And he's like, okay, fuck yeah, perfect, I'm a student, let's go. And yeah, like something around, like, so the first thing he did, he made a few clones of the pedals that he personally wanted to buy, and we were just like, dude, you don't need to buy this stuff, just build it, it's simple. And he built like a few fuzz things and like an octave thing for himself, and kind of like learning the ropes, like in terms of pedals. And then he worked for about 6 months on like a very, very awesome utility product, which is called the Amplitude. But it's a different story for a different time. But we ended up not releasing that product, but we might still release it later on. And then, yeah, he something around a year in, me and him started like talking about reverbs and what we can do, and is there a cool way how to incorporate like a visual element and like an unusual component or unusual physical process into that whole like reverb situation. So yeah, we did a lot of childish experiments together. That was like pretty much the whole summer, like last summer. We were sticking like, we did a lot, the whole range of experiments, like DIY plate reverbs and transducers and vibrating strings and harmonic elements and that kind of stuff. Like, and in the end, he came up with this like brilliant idea. Fuck, like, let's use light sensors to scan the movement of a ready-made spring reverb system. And
that's fantastic. Yeah,
that took a lot of fine-tuning. And actually, there's a lot of fine-tuning still going on at the moment. But yeah, we are happy to see we've taken this idea, arrived at a proper product. Theo's salary has been raised for the last like 6 months. So he's a proper employee right now, and he's finishing school right now. And
wow, amazing.
And once he's done with school, I think that's kind of gonna coincide with the start of manufacturing. So yeah,
wow,
light pedal is going to be a very, very interesting device, and hopefully. It's gonna be people are gonna like it, and we somebody asks us to make a bigger one.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I am very excited about that product. I will look forward to seeing that one make its way onto the shelves. But what a fantastic new addition. What an amazing story to have someone come in like that at such an early stage and add so much to the company that's obviously already, you know, firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, Theo is awesome, and we want, like, that's kind of how we see the future. Like, we're really happy with our choice from the very beginning, that we're not going to be burdened by like sitting there and soldering pedals. So
yeah,
we get to just work on development the whole time. And that's a luxury that almost no other companies have, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Being able to just think of the ideas, that's a wonderful position to be in. Now that,
obviously, there's a lot of work that goes into managing the production, and we have a really awesome team. And it's a crime that I haven't mentioned like the fourth founding member. His name is Didzis. He's the only person in Game Change Audio who has no connection with playing music.
So wow.
We make it almost a requirement that, like, even if you're an engineer or a programmer or something, you have to play music to be in the company. And if you don't, then you have to start taking lessons. So, for example, we hired a programmer who is developing an algorithm for our upcoming Bigsby pedal, which I think has been leaked a little bit.
Yeah, by Bigsby at NAMM, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing a collaboration with Bigsby because, like, you know, we're all big rockabilly fans, and like, it was just awesome, like an awesome opportunity. So the Bigsby is also going to be announced somewhere 2020. But yeah,
I really enjoyed your reaction to that at NAMM, by the way, when you really didn't think it was going to be announced at that NAMM, but Bigsby just sort of brought the non-working prototype along and told everyone. So you were sort of like, oh, well, I guess we better actually mention this then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it's an official thing. Like, we're going to be releasing this as partners of Fender Music Instruments Company. Wow, that's great.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
But the coder who is developing the pitch bending like algorithm, right, for the Bigsby thing, when he came, like, he's extremely qualified. He's an old friend of one of Chris Stepps, one of the founders. They studied together. So this guy, he's a extremely like high level like math and physics like specialist and programmer. He worked in Electronics Institute for 6 years prior to this. So when he joined our team, we told him, like, okay, you are super smart, overqualified, like, scary good guy, but there's one problem. You don't play music, so you're going to have to start take lessons. And he started taking piano lessons, and he's, like, learning Bach right now. So, yeah, like, it's... yeah. But, yeah, the only person in our company who doesn't play music is Didzis, the fourth founding member. We've known each other since we were, like 8 years old or something. We've been in the same school since first grade, in the same schools. And Didzis is he runs all the business operations. Like, he's the one who knows exactly, like, all the flow, all the money flows, and, like, he takes care of all the paperwork, accounting, and, like, legal issues and that kind of stuff. So we always have this, like, little joke that, like, we are, like, a music electronics company, and then, like, I represent the word music, Christops and Martins represent the word electronic, and Didis represents the word company.
Great.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
So, yeah, like, and we all think it's a smart decision that the only person who doesn't play music gets to be responsible for the money, like,
yeah. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we all know, like, music and smart, rational decisions does not always go hand in hand.
Absolutely not. You're going to end up in that steakhouse again, ordering £250 worth of steak.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got to be honest. You know, if I was living where you were living, I'd be ordering £250 of the number one company to come out of Riga, the black balsam liqueur, which is the one of my favorite all-time whiskey supplements.
Wow.
So congratulations on that.
You are, wow, you've done your research. You know so much about Latvia. That's amazing.
No. I know so much about booze. I know a lot about booze. And I have an account with the Whiskey Exchange. And that's one of the liqueurs that I get sent in my monthly package. So, yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
I think local people actually think it keeps the coronavirus away, because I think most of my friends are just drunk for 2 weeks now.
Yes, yeah, good. That's a good state to be in.
You know, you want to hear a cool fact about the Riga Black Balsam? It's a funny story.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
so
I do.
Sometimes we get invited into these ridiculous places, like, you know, meeting Jack White, meeting Rammstein people, like, and. One time we had the guitar tech for Keith Richards reached out to us, and he said that he wants, like, to use the plasma pedal for the tour, for when he plays the Satisfaction song. And then,
oh my goodness!
And then
the start of fuzz.
I know, it's a very poignant kind of, like, symbolic thing. But yes, like, so the six of us. We went over to Berlin, and we got back, like, tickets and passes to the Rolling Stones concert at the Olympic Stadium. That was, like, 2 years ago. And Keith Richards actually doesn't use pedals, but he used the plasma for the Satisfaction riff, like, during that tour, I think, on some occasions. I don't think he did it for the whole tour. But, yeah. So when we were there, like, we brought them some Riga Black Balsam. Because that's what we always do. Whenever we get invited to places, we bring, like, the balsam. You know, you go to the airport, stock up on the balsam bottles, and then that's our little, like, gift that we give to, like, musicians and, you know, like, business partners or whatnot. We also send...
For the listener that doesn't know what this is, Riga Black Balsam is like a...
it's an ancient
infused vodka.
It should not be consumed by anybody.
It's very good. I enjoy it, but yeah,
it's good. But it gives you it's like the kind of grown up, like, serious bitter version of Jägermeister.
Yeah, that's the great description of it. Yeah,
but it's also, like, brown, sweet, and sticky, and, like, it gives you horrible hangovers.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we always travel with these like bottles of balsam. We actually, like last year for Christmas, we sent black balsam to all of our dealers around the world. And like that was really like, we were really trying hard to popularize this drink. And so when we were at the Rolling Stones like backstage area and like talking to the crew and everything, we didn't really get to meet like the band because they're like royalty, which is completely understandable. And I think I'd be scared to even meet them anyway. But we met a lot of the roadies and the people and the techs, and some of them are like incredible characters, and it was just a gigantic honor to be there. But yeah, turns out that like we met some people who also worked for Metallica when Metallica goes on tour, and they noticed the black balsam bottles. They're like, "Hey, is that Rika Black Balsam?" It's like, "Yes. How do you know it?" "Yeah, I work for Metallica, and James drinks this shit all the time, before the shows to warm up his vocals." Like, wow, like that was such a surreal like random fact. I don't know if how exaggerated that statement was, but somebody told us that somebody like credible told us that James Hetfield uses Riga, a little bit of Riga Black Balsam, or used to do it. I don't know what's he up to these days, but he used to do it as the vocal warming up drink before the concerts. Wow. And like that was that was
that must be why I have such a fantastic podcasting voice. that's actually about all we've got time for on this week's episode of the Friday special.
It's there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and I hope that this made sense to people who don't even know about Game Changer, you know, like
I think we've done a decent overview of sort of, you know, the quintessential bits. I don't think we've nearly covered everything, but it would be great, Ilya, if we could have you back on a future episode. You know, maybe when everything settles down and we see what
all passes soon.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you so much for coming on this episode. I've had a great time hearing
about.
It's
been about,
amazing. It's been amazing. So much, what an incredible
really
company!
An
what
it's
an incredibly awesome. Unique company.
I mean, we get a lot of shit as well. Like, some people call us like, gimmick, what is this crap? This is for children, like, you know, flashing lights, come on. Can't you just make normal stuff? Like, so it's it's really awesome. Like, it's really awesome that, to get your kind of, to get approval and the green light from you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, you can, of course, check out more Guitar Nerds over on our Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds. And you can join us in any of the major social platforms at Guitar Nerds. So we're going to be back next week with a regular episode on Wednesday and then another Friday special on Friday. Ilya, thanks again for coming on. And we'll see you all next week. Cheers, gang.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed this. Thank you, guys. Good luck.